When is enthusiasm for Jesus a bad thing? Here's Skip Heitzig with some insight on that.
When you come to Jesus Christ, you don't tack Him on to your life. You don't add Him. Oh, I need Jesus as well as what I... You dissolve, man. You hand Him the pink slip of your life and you say, you are in charge. You are in control. You are the Lord. You run things. That's what it means to follow Jesus. You can be very zealous, very enthusiastic. In fact, I found enthusiasm is a whole lot easier than obedience. Everybody loves a pep rally. Let's have a pep rally for Jesus. Jesus, go! Jesus, yeah, wee! It's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. Obedience, it's not who says, Lord, Lord, but who does.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the
Snowboarding is a popular winter sport, but it's also a dangerous one. Wearing the right gear, getting an edgy helmet, some slick goggles, and a board with a great design can make you look like a person who knows how to snowboard. But without lessons, that slick-looking snowboarder is no more than a missile shooting down the mountain, and the consequences can be deadly. Well, today in The Connection, we'll be concluding this message, Are You a Follower or a Fake? It's just one part of our current Connection teaching series, Who is This Jesus? And we'll see that saying the right things doesn't necessarily make you a Christian, and the consequences can be deadly for that as well. Now, before we get started, I want to ask you, are you enriched by the solid Bible teaching you hear on The Connection each day? Is it an important part of each day for you? Well, we want to hear from you, especially if you've never taken the time to get in touch before. And when you do, we have a special gift for those who contact us for the first time. And it's easy to do so. Just email to info@connectionradio.org, or you can call us at 1-800-922-1888. Or send your letters and notes to P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. And be sure to let us know it's your first time getting in touch so we can get that free teaching out to you. Now, the difference between following God and pretending to follow God is only 18 inches, the space between your head and your heart. We'll find out more next here on The Connection.
And make the connection.
Today, we'll be concluding our series, Who is This Jesus? And you want to stay tuned for ordering information after the teaching. Now, here's Pastor Skip.
Notice that Jesus uses the word practice. I think that's a good translation. You practice lawlessness. That's a present participle in Greek. It speaks of continuous action. I'll declare unto them, I never knew you, because you continually, habitually, as your lifestyle, don't practice righteousness, but you practice lawlessness. In other words, spiritual language and mighty works can all be negated by a wicked, sinful lifestyle. The issue here is obedience. Are you living obediently to the will of God as a lifestyle? I didn't ask if you're perfect. That's not the issue. But is your lifestyle one of habitually, continually practicing the will of God? Jesus said to the disciples in Luke 6, Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Obedience proves a relationship. Be careful with this and listen carefully. I said obedience proves the relationship. It doesn't produce the relationship. You don't get saved by being obedient. You come to Christ by faith, but then what proves that you belong to Christ? This, obedience, works. It proves that you're already saved by faith. Irma Bombeck, when she was alive, said something really classic, profound, I think. She said, never go to a doctor whose house plants have died. That's insightful. I mean, if this doctor can't take care of simple life forms, like a plant, you're going to trust him with your complex body, your life? And it's true, isn't it? Even spiritually, it's true. Why would an unbeliever want to go to somebody who professes to be a Christian and get direction for their life if that person seems lost themselves? Anyone who is continually practicing sin gives evidence they don't belong to Christ. He said, what? Anyone who is continually practicing a lifestyle of sin gives evidence they do not belong to Christ. Well, now, Skip, wait a minute. Don't Christians struggle with sin? Yes, we do. Don't Christians fall into sin? Yep, we do. Well, do Christians ever deliberately sin? Yeah, sometimes we do. But even when we do, our reaction as Christians, it's going to be a Psalm 51 kind of a reaction. It's going to be brief. We're going to hate it. We're going to want to turn from it. We're going to loathe it. We're not going to sit in it and live in it. And though our lives may be marked by occasional sin, it's not marked by perpetual sin. You see, a Christian is somebody to whom sin clings. An unbeliever is somebody who clings to sin. See the difference? If you fall into a puddle of water, or you fall into 12 inches of water, you won't drown unless you stay there. But if you stay in it and you don't get up, you'll drown. And so, let's apply it. Let's say you claim to be a Christian, but in the meantime, you are living in sexual sin with somebody on an ongoing basis. Oh, but you're hiding behind the fact that I prayed a prayer one time. In fact, listen, I even shed a tear. But as a lifestyle, you are living in sexual immorality while coming to church. That's hypocrisy. You can say and sing and read all you want. Or if you're continually addicted to pornography or any kind of lifestyle that is an ongoing lifestyle of sin, you are giving strong fruit and evidence that you don't belong to Christ. There needs to be change, repentance. So let's examine ourselves in the light of this whole series. We've looked at what we believe and who Jesus is and all that stuff. And we say, yeah, it was right on. He is that and He is the Lord. But what's our lifestyle like? I want to read an illustration to you that I found from an Argentinian pastor named Juan Carlos Ortiz. And he's commenting on those two verses in Revelation where he said, if you're either cold or hot, you should be either cold or hot, but because you're neither cold nor hot, but you're lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Spew you is the King James. He writes on that. He says, excuse me for this illustration, but it comes from Jesus himself. He continues, what things do we vomit? Things that won't digest. If something is digested, it doesn't come back up. Vomited people are people who refuse to be digested by the Lord Jesus Christ. And digestion means getting lost. You're finished. Your life ends. You are transformed into Jesus. You are unmistakably associated with Him. In Argentina, we have very good steaks. Let's imagine that the steak comes to my stomach and the gastric juices come along to dissolve it. And they say to the steak, good evening, how are you? And the steak replies, fine, what do you want? We've come to dissolve you, to transform you into Juan Carlos. And suppose the steak says, no way, wait a minute here. It's enough that he ate me, but to disappear completely, uh-uh. I'm in his stomach, but I want to stay steak. I don't want to lose my individuality. I want to maintain my steak citizenship. So there's a fight. Suppose the steak wins, and the gastric juices let him remain a steak in my stomach. Very soon, that steak will be vomited out. But if the gastric juices win the fight, the steak loses its personality and becomes me. Before I ate the steak, it was an unknown cow behind the hill. Nobody paid any attention to it. But now, because it's dissolved, it gets to write a book. Very clever. When you come to Jesus Christ, you don't tack him on to your life. You don't add him. Oh, I need Jesus as well as what I... You dissolve, man. You hand him the pink slip of your life and you say, you are in charge. You are in control. You are the Lord. You run things. That's what it means to follow Jesus. You can be very zealous, very enthusiastic. In fact, I found enthusiasm is a whole lot easier than obedience. Everybody loves a pep rally. Let's have a pep rally for Jesus. Jesus, go! Jesus, yeah, wee! It's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. Obedience, it's not who says, Lord, Lord, but who does. So there's the absence of a lifestyle, Jesus would indicate. You practice lawlessness, something else. And this is at the core of it. The reason there's not a lifestyle is there's no relationship. I will declare to them, I never knew you. Let that word sink in. I never knew you. You've heard Christians talk about this. They'll be in a conversation and they'll say something like, this person really knows the Lord. And that's because relationship is preeminent. It's more important than anything. A relationship knowing Christ. It's essential. So that once we know him, all of the words, all of the deeds, all of the activities flow out of that relationship. But knowing him is essential. God said through Jeremiah the prophet, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. Can you say this morning, I know God. I know him personally. We talked this morning, in fact. Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, there is a difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. You may be a historian, and you know all about George Washington. Know where he was born, know his mom's name, his dad's name, his pet dog's name, his cat's name, what he did in his life when he died, etc. But if I were to say, do you know George Washington? You can't say, oh yeah, we're like this, man. I talked to him this morning. Oh, really? I have sort of an interesting world because my messages aren't just confined to this building, but we're on radio stations in different places. I have people come up to me and when they meet me say, I feel like I know you. Because they've heard things that I've said. I give illustrations about my life, my family. I was in Dallas, Texas a few months back at a convention, and a couple came up to me from Belize, and then a gal came up to me from Africa, and they both listened to the radio show in their own language. This gal from Africa said, I know your name. I know your wife's name, Lenya. I know about Nathan. I know about your dog. I know that you have a fat cat. And she went down the list of all the different things she had heard. But that was the time we met. And I prayed with her and gave her a big hug. And I said, now we know each other. Now we're friends. We've been introduced. So when Jesus said, I'm going to say to them, I never knew you. He doesn't mean, I never knew about you. I didn't get your name. And you are... No, he's not saying that. What he means is, I never knew you as my disciple. You never knew me as your Lord. We never had any intimate part of one another. So you're making the right speech, but you're missing the right stuff, which means you need to be minding the right steps. Look at the last portion of the Sermon on the Mount, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, and whenever there's a therefore, find out what it's there for. It's attached to what he just said. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Two builders, two houses, two results. There's some similarities. Both houses probably looked alike outwardly, sort of like a tract house. You go by the neighborhood, there's the two builders, they build the two houses. They're similar, they both have doors, both have windows. Two camel garage attached. But what's the difference between house number one and house number two? It's what you don't see, right? It's the foundation, it's what's underneath, what's holding it up or not. So that when the storms of life come and the rains beat upon that house, one's going to fall, one's going to stand. Outwardly, they look alike. And that's the point, I believe, is that outwardly, you can't tell the difference by looking at a follower or a fake. They both come to church. They both sing the songs. They both read the scripture. They both may say, amen, glory to God, hallelujah, Lord, Lord. But what's underneath? What's the foundation like? Well, there are three definite steps that a true believer takes. One, we've already discussed, knowing the Lord. Second, hearing the Lord. And third, obeying the Lord. First of all, you got to meet Him. Have you met Jesus? Well, how do you meet Jesus? The Bible says, as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become children of God. Have you received Christ? Now, sometimes Christians say, have you accepted Christ? I don't like to use that term. The way I figure it, you don't accept Christ. He accepts you. He's the judge. He lets you into His family. Yes, I've considered Christ. I will accept Him. Oh, no. You take Him as the Lord and you receive Him as your master, your Savior. The second step in these verses is hearing. He who hears my word, he who hears these sayings of mine. Now, you can do that every single day. You can open that Bible, you can learn of Jesus as He said to do, and you can grow as you hear what He's saying. He speaks to your heart in the Word. You know, I'll talk to some people who never read the Bible, but they act like they're experts. Well, you know, the Bible, and the Bible says, oh, really? Have you ever read it? Well, I have a plaque at home that has a verse on it. Great. We should be hearing His voice. And when we come to church, by the way, one of the reasons we come to church is to hear His voice. I think our attitude should be when we get up in the morning, I'm going to church this morning. God's going to speak to me. What is He going to say? What is He going to say to me? Not everybody who comes to church, not every churchgoer comes to listen to the truth. Some come purely for the atmosphere. Well, I go to church because it makes me feel good when I go. Well, I go to church because it's a good place to expose my children to. So I go with them. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, some people come to church to be drugged, were his words, drugged, to get that positive feeling. One leader said, a church is all too often judged not by whether God is worshipped there in spirit and in truth, or by whether the Word of God is faithfully proclaimed. On the contrary, a church is usually judged by the attractiveness of its ritual, the friendliness of its members, and their ability to make me feel at home. But we should come to listen. And then finally, the third step after knowing and hearing is doing. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that's a wise person. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, that's a foolish person. Meaning this, when we read, when we learn, we should obey. That's a relationship. And folks, that's wise living. That's strong living. If you live that way, if you're determined to listen to His voice and do what He says, no matter what comes in your life, no matter what storms blow through, you'll stand. You'll be strong. Because of your foundation. If you just listen to what he says week after week, but you don't obey it, you're a fool. That's what Jesus said. I'll liken him to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When I was in Honduras with Franklin Graham, we looked at hundreds of homes that were washed away by the rains, the floods, like these verses speak about. Lives were devastated. Homes were just decimated. But you know what? Here in America, I see lives also decimated. I see eternal lives decimated. Because so many will build upon the words, the vocabulary, and point to the good deeds they have done, rather than upon a relationship with Jesus Christ who died for their sins, and the fact that they're committed to Him and they follow Him as His disciple. Now, who can do this? Who can take all of these steps? Verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. I love that. Anybody can take these steps. Anybody can build an eternal, stable future by receiving Christ, by meeting Him, by listening to Him, by being His disciple. Anybody can do it. One thing I love about God, He's not picky. You know who God will take? Anybody. Whosoever will, let him come. That whosoever would believe in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever hears these sayings of mine, will you hear them? Will you cast this aside this morning and say, no, I'd rather just build upon the fact that, well, I'm a nice person. I'm a good person. I'll work my way to heaven. I'm a religious person. I do this. I do that. I say this. I say that. Well, maybe you're not a follower. Maybe you're a fake. Like the goat. I'm going to go where Christians go and talk like Christians talk. Satan is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Oh, by the way, the Titanic, they got the message. They not only had the information, they actually responded to it. They wired back to the ship who sent them the warning that there were icebergs in the vicinity, and the message they sent back was this: shut up. Shut up. We're busy. How'd you like to have that as your last words? Shut up, I'm busy. No, I don't want you, God, I'm busy. Why not hear the sayings and do them?
Words are not enough. We can't merely say we're a Christian. Our lifestyle has to be honoring to God as well, doesn't it? Well, this is the conclusion of this teaching, Are You a Follower or a Fake? And it's also the conclusion of our series, Who is This Jesus? This series has taken us through so many vital questions that we as believers deal with daily and given us solid answers from God's Word. And you can purchase a copy of this series for your audio library as an audio CD package for the special price of $42. Get in touch today at 1-800-922-1888 to order, or feel free to order online at skipheitzig.com. And a message like this should be shared. You can do that when you go to skipheitzig.com and click the quick links at the bottom of today's teaching. Well, we have an incredible resource package that we put together for the month of October, and here are all the details.
October is here, and for the past few weeks, we've seen witches' hats and ghoulish masks on display in preparation for Halloween. Many of us have been thinking about vampires, zombies, and witches, wondering whether they are harmless fun or a gateway to evil. That was the catalyst for us to put together this helpful connection resource package, including the DVD Shattered, Exposing Windows of Evil, hosted by Skip Heitzig. This documentary examines the influence of movies, music, and interactive media on youth culture, families, and the church. In addition, this package includes the book, The Strategy of Satan, by Warren Wiersbe, and the classic Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. We live in a very spiritual culture, so learn the truth about the spiritual realms. Be informed and be prepared this October when you get this important resource package for only $30. Order today from The Connection by calling 1-800-922-1888 or online at skipheitzig.com.
And while you're at skipheitzig.com today, one place to browse is the sale and clearance sections, because you never know what great bargains you might find that will encourage your heart and mind as you read, listen, and learn. Find out more at skipheitzig.com.
And make the connection.
Tomorrow, we keep calm and marry on. It's a new series focused on marriage, and it begins tomorrow here on The Connection. So be sure to join us and invite your spouse to listen as well. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.